What's one thing people can't find out about you from Google?
Do I actually say it? I was a professional wrestler on television.
Really? Like, what was your name?
I'm not giving you that, because then you could actually find on. There's a limit.
Okay.
So I'm just saying, if you search hard enough,
you might be able to find it.
There is one YouTube video still out that I haven't been able to get legally taken off the internet.
The most inspiring stories from today's most successful mortgage brokers. Join your host, Scott Peckford, on I Love Mortgage Brokering.
Hey, Broker Nation, Scott Peckford here. Today on the show, I have Chris Turcott. Chris is the president of Centum Financial Group. Centum is a 2,000-member company, 2,000 mortgage brokers. They're part of the Century 21 group of companies. There's a whole bunch of companies that are kind of embedded in there. And today, Chris shares a few cool insights. First is he shares how his love of systems helped him build 3 franchises and eventually led him to become the president of Centum Group. He talks about how they're launching a daily payroll system, so which is kind of cool. People can get paid daily. Brokers do like to get paid. And finally, he talks about his philosophy on work. I absolutely loved. He said, "You're tired, do it anyway." I think that's a great motto for life. And I'm not going to share that with my wife because she's going to use that on me every single weekend. Anyways, check out this in conversation with Chris. I think you're really going to enjoy it. And thanks so much for listening to our show. Hey, Chris, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Scott. I've been a big fan, so I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, finally connected, right? This is awesome. So tell me a little bit about yourself and how you got into the mortgage biz.
How much time do we have? No, jokes aside, I started off on the, I was going to say blue and yellow, but I was like, I better explain that. Blue and yellow is in the banking side. So I started off at Royal Bank. I was a personal banker, worked my way up through the ranks there. Actually, for a brief period, got out of the financial space. And to get into the broker space, it was actually my fiance, now wife, we're going to get a mortgage. And I owe my entire career to a realtor that just wouldn't let up.
How many mortgage brokers can say that or would actually say that, even if it's true?
But yeah, like, and trust me, I get the irony. And it was this guy that I was brand new to, Brandon, Manitoba, obviously not there anymore. And this realtor just wouldn't let up. He was like, "Hey, like, you know, I got a mortgage broker buddy." And I was so ignorant to mortgage broking at the time, especially being hardwired by RBC. I literally cut him off. He was like, "Hey, I've got a mortgage broker buddy." I was like, "Stop. I have good credit. I don't need a mortgage broker." Like, right. so ignorant to it. And he wouldn't let up. So as I was walking around, he was like, "Listen, why don't I just call the mortgage broker? I'll put him on speaker. And as you're walking around, just shout out." Cause I was like, "I'm not at the bank anymore, but I've got friends. I've got a bank rate still. Like, I've got a staff rate. I don't need your help." And he got this mortgage broker on the phone and on speaker and was like, "Can you just tell me your 5-year fix?" And I can't remember. It's years and years and years ago. It was like 3.49, 5-year fixed. And he was like, "Cool. I've got a 3.19. I said to my fiance, I'm like, "This dum-dum's quoting me like variable rates. Like, he has no idea." And I'm like, "No, not variable fixed." He's like, "Yeah, that's fixed." Now, I learned years later, these are both my friends now, didn't realize that the realtor had texted the mortgage broker and said, "Hey, you're going to need to go heavy." And this was back in the first line era.
Yeah.
So I didn't realize that he was using a whole bunch of first line points to give me that quote, but ultimately got me at the desk. I did a mortgage application. Halfway through that, I was doing international sales for Maple Leaf Foods, and that's when they were doing all their downsizing throughout Ontario. Halfway through the application, they actually bought me out of my contract because they were laying off like half their sales force across the country. And it was then that the guy said, when I sat down with him, I knew all the pre-member privileges I wanted. You know, I was worried about IRD. I was going through the whole thing. When I told him I, you know, had unfortunately been bought out, he was like, "Well, why don't you try this mortgage brokering thing?" And that was it. I tried it. I didn't have any sphere of influence from a new city or anything. And was instantly hooked because everything.
Where did you start your mortgage business in Brandon?
So in Brandon, Manitoba. Big, big bragging rights here. Manitoba's second largest city. And still,
I was born in Manitoba.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I did not know that.
It's my dad was Thompson. So it's a
way up north.
Yeah. Apparently, it's the like highest crime rate in Canada. So whatever. Oh, yeah. But I was born there for 3 months and we left. My dad was a. I won't get into that today. But okay, so before we dive into your story, though, I'd love to ask about quotes because quotes are impactful, memorable. So what's a quote that's really had an impact on your life or business?
I love getting this question because if you follow me on social media, it's all I do is quotes. So I was thinking about this one and it's not a famous one, but the one I genuinely live by is, "You're tired, so do it tired." That is probably the quote that I live by the most.
I've never heard that before. Okay, so tell me an example of how you apply that to work or family or life. I could see my wife being like, "Hey, this is a great quote to use on the weekend. You're tired, but do it tired." I'm not sharing this with her, by the way.
Yeah. So it's actually a quote that I just made up myself and worked out through my content and did some videos around.
Oh, okay.
Like
yeah, this is why I've never heard it. This is original.
Yeah. And it's really just a mantra that I go by. So let me explain it, because a lot of people, trust me, they're going to get comments and they're going to say, well, no, it's important to get adequate rest and everything. Yes, this is not saying forego sleep. You know, how do we implement this? I wake up at 4:30 every morning. I don't want to wake up at 4:30 in the morning. I wake up at 4:30 in the morning. I'm groany. I'm just everything else. But I'm not going to die from waking up at 4:30 in the morning. It's not going to kill me. It's not bad for my health if I got 8 hours sleep. So I get up and I do it tired. That's kind of the mantra, right? And then we get home after work and we tell ourselves that we owe ourselves to put our feet up. And of course, we're just going to sit down for a minute because gosh darn it, I deserve this. Well, the minute your ass hits the couch, guess what happens? You don't end up getting up, right? So I'll get out of the car. I've got a big garage. I've got a home gym in there. I will literally get out of my car. And I know if my ass hits the seat in the house, I won't do it. I'll walk straight to the garage. I'll get the workout in and I'll do it tired, right? So for me, it's those moments of the little lies we tell ourselves. That's what that one means. It does not mean work 24 hours a day, hustle, hustle, hustle. It's that little stop lying to yourself. You've got energy.
It's not quite Gary Vaynerchuk, work your face off or whatever he says, you know, like he's at another level.
Yeah. And like, I was a student of his. I'm very, very fortunate that, you know, like Gary and I've done a lot of content together and I've been very fortunate to go to VaynerMedia and everything else. So I did start in that school of thought. Then you have kids and everything else. And it was really just about calling myself out on my BS. We always say we're too tired. Like working out because you had a long day is not going to kill you. So don't tell me you don't have time to work out. Just shut up and do it tired.
And actually exercise is one of those things that it actually will give you more energy because you're hacking your psychology and your physiology rather for your psychology. Like I find that all the time. Sometimes I'm like, well, best thing to do is go for a run, go for a walk. All of a sudden you're like, well, I'm not tired anymore. Right.
And if you don't believe us, like anyone watching this, drop and just do 10 pushups. And those endorphins hit your system, you instantly feel better.
Yeah. Do 50 air squats and you will completely change your physiology just from
100%.
So, okay. So let me ask you this. Failure is something that happens, obviously, as business owners, mortgage brokers. What's something that you failed at, but now looking back, there was a lesson in it for you?
My biggest lesson in patience actually was I went from Reader's Digest version, started off as an agent. Then I became a franchisee. I expanded across Manitoba to 3 locations. And then the call one day was the opportunity to come run the national brand here at Central Financial Group. And the biggest lesson I've ever had was I got here. And even with 3 brokerages in Manitoba, I had a good culture. I put a lot of time into culture. And I was like, well, wait a minute. If everyone believes what you believe, you can pull off miracles and things can happen really, really quickly. So when I got here, I was 34, 35 years old, and the young president of the room was waiting to fall on my face. And I was naive to think I could like U-turn a giant ship of a network in like 6 months. Right. And I knew what needed to be fixed. I knew we needed to get the right people out. I knew we needed to talk about our story and what we stood for and some major changes. And I was just really naive, man. I thought that could be done in 6 months. And it took like 2 years. And it took 2 years to do it right. And I really beat myself up quite a bit because that was the first time that I felt my momentum down. It was the first time I had to do some soul searching and just be like, well, wait a minute, but I'm trying hard and I believe in this and I have a plan. Do I have the right people on the bus? Nah, I think I have all the right people on the bus. Why is this not moving? And I just had to accept the fact that big things take time. So I wouldn't call it a failure, but it was definitely one of those, I'm at a brick wall. And I just have to figure out how to reinvent my thought process and come at this from another angle and just genuinely inject some patience and trust the process. That was a big one for me.
Right.
It sticks out.
It's kind of like a big ship. You can't move it quickly, right? The 3 businesses or the 3 franchises you have, a little smaller, you can be more nimble, you can make changes quick. The bigger the ship, the slower it is to turn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and culture plays such a big piece, right? And that was another lesson was when people believe what you believe, they're genuine followers and that momentum will shift faster, right?
Right.
Suddenly, when you have 2,000 agents and you don't know the majority of them, how could they possibly believe what you believe? You need to put in the time to educate them on what you believe and then see if they're a right fit. So many people make the mistake of, well, I'll turn you into a follower. Well, no, you actually need to identify the ones that will never believe what you believe and then make a choice. And that was a lesson as well. And yeah, there's so much more to it when it comes to running a business.
Right. Okay. That's awesome. And then COVID's obviously happened the last year. It's been a crazy year. First COVID happens, everything literally stops. Everybody's freaking out. Is this the end? Then kind of opens up and then the real estate market goes bonkers. So biggest change that you made to your business in the last year?
We made quite a few. There's 2 that stick out to me the most. So 1, Monday.com, and leveraging that throughout our organization. So Monday.com is like process management, workflow management, things like that. If you've never seen it before, check it out. Yes.
Yeah, once you do, they'll chase you with ads forever. Because I've
100%.
They will chase you down and like, you know, so be warned, but it is a cool program. Check it out.
100%. And yes, for the average mortgage broker, probably overkill. It is pricey. It's pricey. And trust me, you're coming from someone that worked Trello and everything. I get it, guys. I was a mortgage broker. A lot of people don't realize this. I haven't done a good a job as Dustin is talking about it. I haven't written any books or anything like that. But like anyone that knows me, I was a 100 deal broker a year, no underwriter, no assistant. So like, I know the tools that are out there. This is definitely overkill. But if you have a large team and you have multiple departments, it was a game changer. So that was number one. And then number two for me personally, and I feel like a lot of people that you probably work with, Scott, feel this. For the first time ever, I got an assistant and had to make that leap. And actually, she just reprimanded me this morning because I'm slow in getting her, you know, the email management and stuff like that. You know, I started saying, this is what you're going to do. And she's like, you're going to give me that, right? And I'm like, yeah, in a second. I just want to.
Yeah, well, I want to hold on a little bit longer. I like, not yet kind of thing.
Yeah, 100%. So that was a game changer for me. And I actually did a VA. So I did a virtual assistant. She's across the pond kind of thing. Went through a really, really strict vetting process. And that was a big change for me personally. So organization, monday.com, myself personally, finally entrusting.
And so monday.com, is that what you guys run Centum on? Or is that like the core team of Centum? Or are we talking all 2000 Centum brokers?
No. So yeah, that would be crazy, right? At like, what is it? 190 US a person, just the Centum organization. So our corporate team. That's so, okay. so marketing and into accounting and everything else. It's just been
we use fantastic. Asana. So Asana is like a cheaper version of Monday, I think.
Yeah. One of the main designers from Monday left and then started Asana, who was formerly at Facebook. So it was, very similar. They read the same way.
Yeah, it's a great program. Okay, so what right now has got you most excited? So what's something you're working on that you're like, man, I'm excited about this?
Our payroll.
I mean, you got to be a little bit of a process guy if you're telling me payroll is exciting. Anyway,
sorry. Yeah, I'm excited. So it's Centum Direct Pay. We've always been a little bit different at Centum in that for 19 years, is it 19 years already? I think 19 years of Centum's existed. We have always, the lenders pay us directly and then we push out to the franchisee or the office owner and then they pay their agents. Because we've already had those inroads the whole time and some of the big brands are just now getting to that process and they're hiring other parties to make that happen. You know, we got to thinking, we're like, wait a minute, we already have all the infrastructure. And then the advantage we have, which shame on us, we haven't leveraged over the years, is people don't realize like, we also own Century 21 Canada. We own Century 21 Asia Pacific. We have Uniclub Travel that's in like 68 different countries. Like we've got massive accounting infrastructure in behind us. So about 8 months ago, we got the thought, well, wait a minute, what if we just took this one step further? Because we already have the database. We know the franchisee and we know all the agents underneath. So what we are working on with Direct Pay is our franchisees will be able to then, Scott, if you were still running your brokerage, that deposit comes in, we'll actually be able to set up each agent on a profile. So you've got Joe Smith at an 80-20 split. That would just facilitate automatically. So you would get the 20, Joe would get the 80 via direct deposit. You get your reconciliation pay stub, if you will. Joe's going to get the same. All happens in real time, and it happens daily. You get paid daily. And then here's where we're going to disrupt everything. We're doing it for borderline no cost whatsoever. And truth be told, the reason for that is I know everyone's working on a payroll system, and I know they're going to be a couple thousand bucks a month. So I'm just going to cut everyone off the knees and leverage the infrastructure and basically bring it out at no cost.
Right.
Shame on us, though, right? Like, we've always had this massive infrastructure. We've never, ever talked about it because it's just not us to like brag, but now we're starting to learn to leverage that corporate infrastructure to bring more value, right? So that's honestly got me excited because when I had my little brokerage, we did a lot of units. You work with clients in small rural towns, like they do a crap ton of units, not big mortgage volume, but you do a lot of units. Payroll was a full-time job to get all those units paid. We're going to be able to eliminate that. Everyone's going to be able to do EFT.
When will that be ready?
Our very first beta office went live today. We want to work out the kinks. Actually, my old office back in Brandon, I don't want to mess with anyone's money other than my own familia that would forgive me if something went wrong. So we did test data, test accounts, test commissions, passed that with flying colors. Now we're integrating it into a real office. And then, we're really, really pumped.
Trying to break it and see how it goes.
100%. But we're most excited about that because we really feel like, what can we do that really moves the needle in the industry? We're betting that's going to make quite a difference in brokers' lives.
What part of your role at Centum is your favorite part that you get to do?
Yeah, favorite part is to get shoulder to shoulder with franchisees and then help them with their business. That's actually why I took the role. The most common question I got was, you're making really good money as a broker, you did a lot of business. Why would you do this? Especially cost of living in Brandon, Manitoba, cost of living in downtown Vancouver, why would you do that? I'm just obsessed with tinkering with a franchisee to see like, how can we optimize, right? Like, how can you get more ROI by lender distribution, right? Manipulating that. How can you leverage technology to, you know, work your database? Everything you teach, Scott, how do you mine your database to get more leads, stuff like that. I love getting under the hood with franchisees and figuring out how we can just improve things and optimize things. It's what I was born to do. It's what I really, really love doing. And now I get to do it with like 179 offices coast to coast if they want that help. So all last week was 1 hour sessions with our top 40, like opening the hood for the first time and making plans, making goals.
Right. That's awesome. Okay. So I got some rapid fire questions. You can answer these shorter answers if you like. So what's one thing people can't find out about you from Google?
Do I actually say it? I was a professional wrestler on television.
Really? Like, what was your name?
I'm not giving you that, because then you could actually find on. There's a limit.
Okay.
So I'm just saying, if you search hard enough,
you might be able to find it.
There is one YouTube video still out that I haven't been able to get legally taken off the internet. So it's
so like a WWE wrestler kind of thing, like World Wrestling. Okay. We haven't met in person before. So like, how tall and stuff are you? So like,
I'm short. I'm 5'9", but I'm stocky. So I'm 5'9". I'm 194 as of this morning. So
right. And how big are you?
I'm short and stocky. Fluctuated between like 206 to like 211.
Okay. So you have to know your weight.
I was a competitive bodybuilder at the time too. So you always knew your weight. And that would be one that not a lot of people, only those closest kind of know.
But no,
the closest ones in the Centum network have found that stuff. So
right. Okay. So if you guys are listening to this, I'm not saying that you should go for it, but you could. It would be kind of funny. Okay. So what's one movie everyone should watch at least once?
Man, this one was tough. I'm going to go like, not softball, but I'm gonna go light and fuzzy, like Pursuit of Happiness. I can watch over and over again.
Mm-hmm. And have you read the book? It's a good book too.
No, I haven't. People ask me that all the time. I have not read the book, but I like Pursuit of Happiness because it's interesting in that like, now that I'm a father, it keeps evolving as I evolve. Like you can't watch it and not be motivated to like go out and hustle and get things done. It's just a really good thing of like life perspective. Yeah. But then now as a parent and rewatching it, it's got a different perspective too of like wanting to look after your son and what that motivation feels like and things like that. I love it because it ticks a couple different boxes. If I'm just being like straight guy, I could watch Troy over and over and over again.
Right. I like those kind of movies too. I'm not going to lie. It's interesting though, but you just brought up a point. When you watch a movie that you haven't seen in many years and like your life situation changes, you see it totally differently. Like I watched, what's that Matt Damon movie where he was like the genius?
Good Will Hunting.
I was like, this movie's amazing. Like I think I watched it when I was like 20 years old. I'm like, it's kind of whatever. Now I'm like, there's so much depth to this. Yeah. You know, the guy who always is abandoned and you're just like, you see it totally differently. So the thing is, the story doesn't change, you do. Your relationship with that story, the way you look at it changes. And so,
The Pursuit of Happiness, the scene when they're in the bathroom in the subway.
Yeah.
And when he's holding his son. And like when I was, you know, younger, didn't have kids and everything. I'm like, why is he so shooken up that someone's banging on the door? Like, big deal. You know, like I didn't get it. But now as a father, where you're like, this is what I've resorted to and I've got to protect this child. Like, it takes on a new life. Rewatch the movies you love is the big takeaway.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Okay, so what's one software program or digital tool you can't run your business that you said Monday, but you got to give me something different than Monday.
Yeah, I'm going to throw you a curveball. And I mean this with every fiber of my being, like eye contacts, like literally eye contacts in my iPhone. I have notes on everyone. So if like you and I talked and I've learned some things about you before we hit record, right after this, I'm going into my contact cards. There's a notes section. I'm updating that notes section that we talked on this day. Here's some key things about you personally that I've now picked up. And right. Then
incredibly handsome, witty. No, just kidding.
Right. Exactly. And,
I'll send you what I think you should write in there. No, just kidding.
And then I'll set up a follow-up. I'll immediately go into my iCalendar and set up a follow-up date. Yeah. And that's just how I nurture relationships.
Oh, that's a really good idea. People. Yeah, I heard like Bill Clinton was ridiculously good at that, at relationship building and remembering people. And I don't know if he used his iCalendar or whatever, but that's cool.
Big one for me. So when we connect next, right, it's how you create those moments of like, hey, so did you ever finish the rec room? Or hey, like, you know, how did your daughter end up doing the thing? And you're like, it leaves you with the impression of like, wow, they were really listening to me when we talked last.
Right.
You know, it was something taught to me by actually our founder here, you, Gary Charlewood. So he's the guy that, you know, started Century 21 Canada and everything else. He does it all by like manual notebook. But the very first time I met him and then the second time he followed up, I remember being filled with such a, wow, he really cares about me. Like, he listened to everything I told him. And then once I got on board, he kind of took me behind the curtain.
He taught you the ways of the Jedi. But you know what? You do care because you write it down, right? Like, nobody expects you to remember, you know, every single detail. So that's a great tip. Okay, so what's one book you recommend for our listeners?
So I actually have it beside me because I'm about to give it to one of our marketing managers. So E-Myth Revisited.
That's a good book.
Is huge. And I think especially in the broker world, it's so like mission critical. Like if you figure out the pursuit of the perfect client experience, I think it's never been easier. If you leverage tools and technology now, you can create a client experience. And especially if you're integrating with them on social media and everything else, you can create a value proposition and a client experience that a bank can't touch. Royal Bank is never going to go on your Facebook page and say, wow, that's a really cute dress. Congratulations on your daughter's grade 2 graduation. Royal Bank's never going to do that, but you can every single time. So I love the E-Myth because it's like perfect that ideal client experience and then put it in place so that it can be replicated automatically and you can create that high level experience no matter what. If people are unfamiliar with the book, a really good example would be McDonald's. And Scott, it sounds like you've read it, right? And they talk about the fact that that burger station, you know, with the two pickles and the onions and everything else, it's set up in such a way that the body, the actual person holding the ketchup gun and everything is completely interchangeable. One day's notice, first time on the job, that burger is going to come out the same every time. You can do the same thing for your broker business with systems and processes.
Yeah, I totally
agree. I'm a bit of a geek. I'm hearing all this and I'm like, man, am I really this much of a nerd?
So I got a game recently. One of my team members bought for me. I don't know if you've heard of this game. It's called The Irrational Game by Dan Ariely. He's written a book called Predictably Irrational. You may have heard of that book. So it's kind of
like humans
behave in unpredictable ways. And so it's basically a whole bunch of case studies. You got a little snippet and it's like, okay, how do you think people, and then you get to guess how you think the case study, like these sociology studies have, you got to be kind of a nerd to like this stuff. And I'm like, this is so fascinating to me. Same thing with process. We talk about mapping your customer journey. So that's your whole first contact of client for life, phone call to funding, you know, and beyond actually, not even just to funding, but it's super critical. Okay. So elevator question, you're in an elevator, you got the ideal client. What's your 30-second pitch for you? I'm assuming it's not going to be a mortgage client. It's going to be more of a, somebody is a franchisee or.
Yeah. So a mortgage agent in general is my ideal client, right? It's always fun to watch people's faces because they don't believe me. The elevator pitch is basically like, hey, do you have 20 minutes where I can just learn your business? I want to learn the type of client experience, type of business you do, what tools and systems you're leveraging. And then once I understand that, I want to introduce you to my team and let's find out how we can help.
Right.
And that is it. And it's really fun because everyone else is like, wait a minute, you're supposed to offer me a big check to break my contract. You're supposed to pressure me and you're supposed to do this and this and this. And it's really just a, that's what I want to do. I just want to learn about you. And then I want to see if I can help or not. And it's fun. It's fun because it just takes people off guard compared to what else is going out there. But it's short and sweet.
How do we help? Okay, so DeLorean question. If I put you in the car, send you back to the future, back to when you first started the mortgage business. What's three pieces of advice you'd give yourself?
Number one, save for taxes. Because I was one of those agents that had an amazing first year, did not save for taxes, and then needed an exceptional second year to pay off that tax bill. Right. So number one, save for taxes. And that actually bleeds into number two. So I would definitely tell myself, like, how much money do you actually need and ignore the rest? Because now looking back, like I'm still in my 30s and that's a lot of gray and that's a lot of wrinkles. And I got so caught up in the, well, wait a minute, if I answer the phone at 11 o'clock at night because there's a shift worker, I could do that mortgage and I can make more. Now looking back at it, I was like, what did I really need to live comfortably? And I really wish I would have spent more time with my friends, would have spent more time with my wife. We didn't have kids till later in life, partially because my stress level was so high, therefore her stress level is so high. So how much do you actually need and ignore the rest? It kind of ties into the last one I'd tell myself is nobody cares how many mortgages you do. Nobody cares. And I see a lot of brokers and myself, I was one of them. Oh, look how many I could do. And look how many I could do compared to you and everything. Nobody cares as time goes on and as you age, but they care about the kind of human you are.
Right.
Don't get so caught up in the, wow, I want to fund more than anyone. I tell myself to spend more time being a good human.
Right. That's awesome, man. So where can people find you online if they're looking to connect?
If anyone knows the at Chris Turcotte person, no_, reach out to that guy and get me that handle. But until then, on most socials, I'm at Chris Turcotte _. And I DM, I kind of still shock people all the time. Send me a DM, send me a message. I always, always, always reply. Other than that, Chris_Turcotte@Centum.ca. And yeah, willing to jam about anything, mortgages all the time. It's kind of my potentially unhealthy obsession? If we do it this right. much, Scott, is it considered unhealthy?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm the same way. Like my wife and I've talked, we're never going to retire. Like I would always be doing something. I just enjoy it. Well, man, it's been great to connect and get to know you a bit. I know that we've crossed paths a bunch, but we've never actually had a like full-on discussion. So I think we have a lot in common in terms of, you know, that cool still, but slightly nerdy side, right? Like, you know, we're both, I mean, only nerds would say this, but you know, we're still cool, but we're still a little bit nerdy. That's awesome, man. Well, hey, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me. And you know what, Scott, thanks for everything you do, man. Like you provide, I don't think it gets mentioned enough. You provide a forum and a community where a broker can start from scratch and get support and the help that they need. And I know you work really hard to facilitate that, keep it clean, keep it unbiased. So if you don't hear it lately, thank you for doing that. It really is such an asset to this entire industry.
Thanks, brother.
This is an I Love Mortgage Brokering production.